I greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Deeply Rooted with me, your host, Sinaz Okos. This is a podcast where we discuss and delve deeper into the intimate conversations we all have with our Heavenly Father. So welcome to it, beloved. Welcome to yet another episode of Deeply Rooted. This is where we help each other grow in the faith. As I said, this is where we help each other answer different everyday questions through the lens of the Word of God. And, you know, trying to get God's opinion in things that we go through on a day-to-day basis, you know, big things, small things, and everything in between. Nothing is too big or too small for Deeply Rooted. We talk about it all. So welcome to it, beloved. Welcome to the regulars, everyone that has been here from start until now. Thank you so much. We trust that your life is being transformed through what we do here. And thank you for sharing the links. Thank you for just putting the word out there that Deeply Rooted is a podcast that exists, because we are growing as a family. So your sharing, your liking, your subscribing, it's literally not in vain. So thank you so much. And if you're new here, welcome. We really, really appreciate that you've chosen to listen to us. And we believe that your life will not be the same again as you listen to Deeply Rooted. So welcome to it, beloved. As I said, here we talk about everything. You know, we literally try to find God's opinion on the things that happen on a day-to-day basis, in the news, on social media, in our society, and in the church, you know, everywhere. So we will be talking about something that is no stranger to a lot of us as believers. You know, we've been seeing a lot of people say this, you know, on social media, in basically different spaces in society. You know, we've been hearing a lot of people speak and say this phrase, the infamous phrase that goes, I left church, I haven't left God. I left church, but not God. You know, a lot of people have been speaking about this. A lot of people have been saying it. And a lot of people say this with very valid reasons, and they justify their reasons. And when you hear them, they're very much justified according to them, you know. So we will be talking about that and basically getting God's opinion on people leaving church, people leaving the church, but not necessarily leaving God. You know, so what does God have to say about that? And we will look at the Word of God, because if you want to find God's opinion on anything, really, you go to the Word of God. You know, that's what my mother said when I was growing up, that if you want anything, if you want advice on what to eat, who to hang around with, which path to take, there's literally everything you need to find in the Bible, in the Word of God. So Yeah, the word of God says, the Bible says, you know, the word of God is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, you know. So if we want direction, if we want answers to questions, we look to the word of God. And it also says, the Bible also says, every scripture, every word in the Bible has been inspired and breathed upon by God himself. And it's suitable to teach us, to correct us, and to do so many other things. So we will be looking at the word of God to find God's opinion on what we will be talking about today. So I'll be looking at a couple of scriptures and just putting them into context, relating them back to what we will be talking about, right? Just to get an idea of what God has to say about, I left church, I haven't left God, right? So to kick off our conversation, we will look at a scripture in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 24 to 25, right? So it reads as follows, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing." Right? So the first part of that scripture says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Right? So when you go to church, a lot of the time when you get to church, it's a place where people and the pastors and the speakers and everyone who's talking, they will a lot of the time speak about how we should be doing good deeds, how we should be loving towards one another, right? So that links directly to the scripture, the first part of it, which says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, right? So it's very important as believers in Jesus Christ, when we give our lives to Christ, when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, and when we prioritize our relationships with God, it's very essential for us to encourage each other, you know, toward love, toward good deeds. And that's basically what happens at church most of the time. You know, we are encouraged, you know, to do good according to the word of God, you know, according to what the word of God says, and to be loving towards one another, to wear love as part of our lives as believers, because love is a very important component in our walks with Christ. You know, in fact, the Bible says love is the most important thing that you should carry as a believer in Jesus Christ. So this scripture, the first part of it says, we should consider how we should spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And basically that's what happens a lot of the time when you go to church, right? And then the second part of the scripture says, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. So it highlights the importance of meeting together as believers, because this writer was referring to people who are believers, people who have given their lives to Christ and are prioritizing their relationships with God, right? So it says, we shouldn't give up meeting together as believers, as some are in the habit of doing, you know. So it highlights the importance of not only encouraging each other to do good, to be loving and to wear love and do good deeds, but it also encourages us to not give up meeting together and not neglect. I think other versions say, let us not neglect meeting together as believers. So it is very important for us to meet together, because when we do meet together, then it gives us a better chance to encourage each other toward love, toward good deeds. Because as I said, a lot of the time at church, preachings are centered around, you know, good deeds and us having to act in ways that glorify God and show ourselves in the world as people who do good deeds, because that gives glory to our Father in heaven, you know. So this is the first scripture that basically shows God's opinion on us meeting together, on us basically doing church together, because church is basically believers gathering together, people that have given their lives to Christ gathering together, going to church together. So we are instructed in the scripture to, you know, spur each other, spur one another on toward good deeds and not give up meeting together as the church, as believers in Jesus Christ. Because when we do, then we are able to spur one another on. We are able to encourage each other toward love and good deeds, right? So that's the first scripture I'd like to refer to. Another one is in the book of Acts, chapter 42. It says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer." Right? So here, the book of Acts, basically Bible scholars and people who study the Bible will tell you that the book of Acts is referring to the early church. It's a book about the early church mostly. So this is a time when Jesus had just ascended to heaven, and now the disciples and the apostles have been left alone. Okay, well, not alone, because Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to be with them. But it is a time where the disciples were basically preaching the gospel to all nations, right? So the very earliest church was when the disciples basically were left by Jesus, and they were instructed to make disciples of all nations. So the first church where people in the world experienced and heard about the gospel of Jesus Christ is basically documented in the book of Acts, right? So here the apostles were teaching people, winning souls, and people were coming to Christ in multitudes, in great numbers. You know, they were growing day by day, you know, as the church, as believers, basically. So the early church modeled to us what it should look like to be believers united, you know, because this scripture says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship. So fellowshipping is basically gathering together as believers, right? And to prove that, it was very important for them to fellowship. The fact that the gospel reached as far as it did now, because I mean, the gospel now is all over the world. It even reached us in South Africa, right? So if it was not for, you know, the apostles preaching in different parts of the world and encouraging people to fellowship, to be together, to gather, to pray together, you know, possibly the gospel wouldn't have traveled as far as it did, right? So it shows the importance of not only hearing the teachings of the word, but also being one and being united and fellowshipping, because the early church showed us how important that was. I mean, I remember another instance that happened in the early church. One of the disciples, Peter, was arrested, right? And because they were together, because the believers of Jesus Christ were together, and everyone that had given their lives to Christ were fellowshipping, and they devoted themselves to teachings and fellowship, and they gathered regularly, they were able to pray for Peter, who was in prison, right? And because they prayed for him, he was delivered from that situation. He was released. It's a whole different story that I won't get into. But basically, the praying of the believers, you know, the fact that they gathered and they prayed together, it literally showed that, you know what, this is beneficial, because they were able to help each other, to encourage each other, to pray for each other, you know, for miracles to be performed, because Peter experienced a miracle when he was in prison while they were praying with him together, you know. So togetherness is very important. Gathering is very important. The early church was a great example of this and the benefits, you know, linked to gathering, right? And another scripture I'd like to look at is in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 3 to verse 6. So I'll read it quickly. It goes, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, right? So what I like most about this scripture is that it's showing us that everyone who gives their lives to Christ, everyone who turns to the Lord and now prioritizes their relationship with God by giving their lives to Christ, it shows that we are part of one body. We are part of one faith, because it says there's one faith, one baptism, one God who's the Father of all. And it starts off by saying, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, right? So then it shows us that it doesn't make sense for us to be people who all have a relationship with one God, and we have all given our lives to Christ, and at the same time, we are living separate lives. I'm in my corner praying by myself. You're in your corner praying by yourself. The other one is there. The other one is there. But we are part of one body. You know, if we are part of one body, we should be people that gather regularly. I mean, this is the same as any other organization, even if it's not church, right? I mean, we see it a lot where, for example, let's say there's an organization or there's a particular body of directors. They don't meet all the time, but regularly they have to have meetings, whether it's virtual meetings, whether it's face-to-face meetings. But a body or an organization that belong to one brand, they always have to meet everywhere. Like, for example, whether you're working, whether you're at school, if you are part of that company, if you belong to that company, you always have to be reporting to people that you work with. You always have to be gathering, sharing ideas with people that you work with, because you belong to one organization. So that is what the scripture is showing, that make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. So that shows that It really doesn't make sense for us to accept one law, one God, and give our lives to Christ, who is one King, but at the same time live separate lives and never gather and never be united and never be one, right? So this scripture highlights that we are one body, we are one faith, we have one God, and because of that, we should gather regularly because this is the body of Christ. You know, believers basically, I don't know how to put it, but like, I remember back in school, there was something called collective nouns, right? So, for example, a group of fish is called a school of fish. You know, I'm pretty sure you guys get the gist of what I'm trying to say, right? So as believers in Jesus Christ, we are called the body of Christ. So if we are the body of Christ, it doesn't make sense for us to be living separate lives and never ever gather because we are one organization. We are one body. We have one God, one faith, one baptism. So it's very important. That's another thing that makes it important for us to gather, right? And then in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, it says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals, right? I like the scripture so much because it highlights this very famous saying. I think it's an English saying that says, birds of the same feathers flock together, right? So it shows that whoever you spend a lot of time with, whichever company that you keep, you will eventually become like those people, right? So if you are spending time away from the church, then obviously it means you will be like people who are away from the church. But if you spend time with believers, people who are like-minded, people who have also given their lives to Christ, people who also want to grow in their relationships with God, people who also want to prioritize their relationships with God, right? If you spend a lot of time with those people, you will then become like those people. And in the same breath, if you spend time with people that don't really prioritize their relationships with God, that don't really care about, you know, gathering with other believers because the word of God says so, then unfortunately, you will also become like those people, you know. So it's very important for us to understand that bad company corrupts good morals, but good company does the opposite. You know, it helps us. It helps us build character. It helps us grow in our faith, in our relationships with God, you know. And another scripture I'd like to refer to is in the book of Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. It says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another, right? If you know a knife, like I remember when I was younger, I would see people, if like a knife is blunt at home or wherever, I would see people taking another knife to sharpen the blunt knife, basically to make it sharper as well, so that both knives can be sharp, right? So this scripture says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So if you are with people that are like-minded, as I said, if you are with people that want to grow in their faith, that want to know God more, that want to answer everyday questions through the word of God, that want to pray regularly, that want to grow in their faith, you know, you will basically be able to sharpen one another. And it's hard to sharpen one another when you don't gather. Like if you're at your house, you're at your flat, you're literally isolated, it's literally hard for you to be sharpened because you don't get encouraged. You don't get words of wisdom from people that have been through what you're going through, for example. I think another thing I love about being part of the body of Christ is that we have experienced different things. You know, if I'm experiencing something right now, maybe a fellow brother or a fellow sister has gone through the same thing, right? And because they've gone through the same thing, they're able to speak life to you. They're able to encourage you and tell you, no, man, listen, I've been through this, but I went through it and I literally overcame and I came out victorious. So it's not the end of the world. You're also going to come out, you know, victorious. And they use the word of God, you know, they testify and they give testimonies of their lives and how they went through a particular season, but now they succeeded and they came out victorious and it literally didn't kill them, you know. So that's another thing that makes it very imperative for us to gather as believers, you know, because we not only pray for each other, we sharpen each other in the faith, we help each other grow, we are able to carry each other's burdens, you know. I mean, an example that my mom likes using, because my mom, when she was very young, she lost her parents and she was basically left to be the breadwinner of the family, if I can put it that way, because she was the oldest, right? And she always tells me that, you know what, that is one time where she saw the love of believers and people in the church, basically, because she was very young. She was 21 years old. And at that time, it was literally people in the church that helped her bury her mother. It was people in the church that took her her in because she was very young and she had younger siblings. It was people in the church that took her in, you know, and basically helped her, you know, be who she is today. So that is one example of many examples that I've heard. You know, there's a sister that I had in the podcast actually recently, Ncebakazi Msomi, the gospel artist. I remember a post that she wrote that the year that she got married, there's something that we call in the Xhosa culture, and I'm pretty sure other cultures have it as well. There's something we call amabaso, which is basically a bridal shower, but in a more formal way, if I can put it that way. So basically, amabaso is where when someone is about to get married, they get gifts, different gifts from people, you know, and basically just wishing them well for their marriage, for the journey that they'll be taking, right? So she wrote a couple of years ago saying that, you know what, every year, every single year, when it's Christmas or when it's a particular holiday, she has literally gifts that go up a wall because she received so many gifts from the church. And because she received those gifts, she literally unboxes a new appliance every year. You know, that's just one of the examples that I can tell, that I can share, of the importance of gathering, because you build relationships, you build community. You know, when there's a death in your family or when there's something that you want to celebrate, people that are part of this body of Christ and people that are in the church that you gather with are able to cry with you. They're able to celebrate with you. You know, so those are just the benefits of us gathering and just having a community of believers. You know, isolation is something that God doesn't want. Yes, obviously there are seasons where God wants to isolate you, but in that isolation, he never isolates you away from believers. He isolates you maybe where you feel like, okay, friends are too busy, or certain people that you usually reach out to are too busy, and he wants you to focus just on him. But that doesn't ever justify you not gathering with believers, because it can never contradict, his isolation can never contradict the word of God. But constant isolation is something that is not godly. It's a tool that the enemy actually uses for you to suffer on your own, suffer in silence, because you have no one to talk to. You have no one to encourage you. You have no one to spur you on toward love and good deeds. You have no one to pray for you, you know, so it's very important for us to gather. Like, God is very strict when it comes to gathering. He's very strict on us attending church, you know, because, I mean, writers like David, for example, he wrote it many times that, you know, I pray, Lord, that you help me stay and dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, you know. So it's very, very important for us to be people that gather, to be people that have community, cell groups, you know, attending church regularly, because it's very imperative for our faith, for our growth in the faith, you know. Also helps us because, I mean, people could say that, no, but what if I do Bible study at home? But there are things that God has revealed to other people that he hasn't revealed to you. And you can only get, you know, that kind of opinion and perspective when you gather with other believers, right? So in a nutshell, beloved, that is God's opinion, basically, on attending church and gathering. You know, God is very strict when it comes to gathering. He wants us to gather. And as I said at the beginning, people have very valid reasons as to why they don't gather. You know, people have been hurt in the church, which is valid. You know, people have been hurt in the church. People have experienced so many ugly things in the church. You know, people being acting out of character, people living lives that don't really align with what the word of God expects. You know, so there's so many valid reasons. And I will definitely touch on that, you know. And I just like to say, in fact, I'd like us to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 9 verse 12. So just to put this in context, Jesus was still here on earth. He was ministering, he was preaching to different people, and he attracted a lot of crowds, by the way, you know. So there were people, all kinds of people from all walks of life. And I remember this one time, the context of the scripture is basically a lot of people, including sinners, people that were considered like ungodly and sinful in society, and tax collectors, because I believe that people who were tax collectors back in the day, that was a profession that wasn't really, it was really a profession that was frowned upon, because tax collectors were people that were not really welcome society, right? So he was dining and he was eating with these people, tax collectors, sinners, and all of these people, just chilling with them. And then there were the Pharisees. So there were people called the Pharisees, and these were basically religious leaders of the time, and they really liked to challenge Jesus. And Jesus actually warned us a lot about Pharisees, because he said, be very careful of these guys, because they make people carry heavy burdens that they themselves don't want to carry or are unable to carry, rather. So Jesus really warned us a lot about Pharisees. So in this context, Jesus is eating basically with sinners, with people who are deemed ungodly or unworthy according to society. And then he says in the book of Matthew chapter 9, verse 12, he says, on hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick, right? So that basically sums up what church is. You know, church is basically a place full of sick people. Like, literally, and I don't say this in an offensive way, but I say it as a fact. It is a place that is full of sick people that need the hand of God. People who have, you know, people who are broken. People who have distorted character traits, people who are ugly people, you know, deep within. It's a place of sick people, people that are literally not deserving of the grace of God, so to speak, you know. And that's why people go to church, you know. That should be why people go to church, because you're not okay. You're a person who has an ugly character. You're a person who doesn't know how to speak to people. You're a person who needs your heart to be cleansed. You're a person who's broken, you know, and because you're broken, you bleed on other people, right? And I mean, picture a hospital, guys. A hospital is full of patients, right? And they go there so that they can be well and that they can be discharged and go home and so that they can be happy. But because hospitals are always existing, they always exist because there's always sick people. There's never a time where they say, okay, hospitals are now closed because everyone in the country or everyone in the world is well. There's no such thing. Literally, a hospital always exists because there's always sick people. So people go to the church because they are sick. And that's why there's a lot of offense that happens in the church, because people go there and they're sick and they need a doctor, which is Jesus Christ, right? That should be the reason why we go to God, because we need him to work on our characters. We need him to work on our hearts, to work on our scars, and to help us heal so that we don't bleed on people, right? So I need us to understand and look at it from that perspective, beloved, that we go to church and we get hurt because people are sick and they bleed on other people and they need Jesus, right? And that is not an excuse to excuse their behavior and for us to say, okay, it's a place of sick people, so no matter what they do, no matter what they say, fine, I'll stay. No, it's not to say that, because if you're a sick person, there is a doctor in a church, and that doctor is Jesus Christ. That doctor is God, right? So when you go to the church, when you give your life to Christ, and you when you fellowship regularly, you should be someone that sees transformation in their lives eventually, right? It doesn't happen overnight, right? Some scars take years to heal. Some characters take years to fix, but gradually and eventually, you should be seeing a transformation taking place inside of you, right? People that don't see a transformation happening in their lives is because they don't prioritize their relationships with Christ. They just go to church for the sake of going to church, right? But you should go to church prioritizing your relationship with the Lord, studying the Word of God regularly, praying regularly, being in the presence of God, worshiping regularly, talking to God and having honest conversations about with him about the fact that, you know what, I don't like the fact that I've got this character. I don't like the fact that, you know, I act like this, or I've got this kind of scar and now it's bleeding onto other people. You shouldn't be comfortable in the fact that you are distorted and you need a doctor, because Jesus is there. He's always there. His healing power is always there. His ability to change your character and your heart is always there. But it's a matter of you having to take the initiative to say, God, I want this to change, and I will pray and I will study the word and I trust and believe and will have faith that I will see your transformation happening in my life, right? So as I said, a church is a place of that, and you should view it as that, beloved, because no matter what church you go to, you will find someone who's sick. You will find people who are sick, right? But I think the importance is to gauge the level of sickness and whether there is a change that's happening. Because, for example, think about it this way. If there's a doctor that people keep going to and no one gets healed, like people keep going there, but people just don't get healed. Obviously, people will stop going to that doctor because clearly there's something wrong, right? And that is the same perspective we should have in churches. You know, if we are attending a particular church and we see that, no, man, I've been attending this church and there's no change that's happening. You know, the people here keep hurting each other. You are very much welcome to leave that church, but go find another one. Don't leave the church to stay at home, right? I always say this to people. I mean, I've changed churches. I remember last year, I won't get into the details of it, but I changed a church because there was just a lot of things that were happening that I was not happy with. But I changed that church to go to another one. And the one where I'm at right now is a good church, you know. It's the same as doctors. It's the same as hospitals. There are hospitals that are not good in maintaining people or healing people, right? But there are hospitals that are well reputed that have a good reputation, you know, that have good doctors that heal and people literally receive good medicine and good treatment, right? It's the same as churches, beloved. You don't have to stay at a church where you are mistreated. You don't have to stay at a church where you see that, you know what, there's no change and people keep hurting each other. You can literally change a church and find a church that aligns with the word of God. And in order to find a good church, it's very easy to spot a good church. A good church needs to prioritize winning souls and basically preaching the gospel and getting people to accept Jesus Christ. So a good church needs to very much prioritize that. A church that doesn't prioritize giving people the opportunity to give their lives to Jesus Christ is questionable, beloved, because everyone who's a believer has been mandated with the mandate of making people accept Jesus Christ, basically, you know. And another way to spot a good church is to see if they preach what's in the Word of God and not things that are not in the Word of God. Because, I mean, we are warned in the book of Revelation, there's a scripture that says, don't add or take away from this book, right? Which is basically the Bible. So if you are in a church, whoever's preaching, whatever topic they're talking about, they should be aligned with the Word of God and the principles of the Word of God and what the Word of God says, right? And also, it's very important to note the fruits that the people bear and the fruits that they carry. Like in the previous episode, I spoke of the fruits of the Spirit. So love, joy, peace, self-control, gentleness, faithfulness, all of those things, right? People should be at least wanting to bear those fruits, and people should be bearing those fruits, particularly the leaders of the church. A leader that doesn't have self-control is a very dangerous leader. It's a very dangerous pastor, right? So you should look at those kind of traits in the church that you are wanting to pursue. And remember, beloved, as I said, there will never be such a thing as a perfect church. Churches will always have sick people here and there, but it should be a thing of, okay, these people are getting healed. They're receiving good medicine from the doctor, and they're getting healed. They are walking towards a journey of healing, right? So you should never ever expect a church that doesn't have, you know, glitches here and there, but it should be things that are being worked on, not things where people are just comfortable in the way they are and in the fact that they're hurting people and in the fact that their characters are not changing, right? So that one is very, very important, beloved. And yeah, so I know it's a very touchy subject. It's a very sensitive subject, but please, I want to encourage you to please find a community. I know that the church hurt you, but I want to say to you that it is not God who hurt you. It is not Jesus who hurt you. It is the people that are still sick that hurt you, you know. So you don't have to go back to the church that hurt you, but please find another one. There's many churches there's good churches. For example, I attend a good church. I don't want to advertise my church on this podcast, but if you want recommendations on good churches, whichever one resonates with you, I can literally try and link you up with a good church, because it's very imperative, based on the scriptures that I just showed and that I just read, beloved, that we should meet, we should gather as believers. God is very strict on that, you know. So I'd like to encourage you, and I'm praying for you, whoever hurt you in the church, trust God, because God is a God of justice. God doesn't want you to stay hurt and harmed and you don't receive justice. You know, I've received justice many times where I've also been hurt in the church. You know, I was literally born in the church, guys. From the time I was born until now in my mid-20s, I'm someone who's been a church girl pretty much all my life. You know, I was offended many times in the church. I left a church because I experienced a particular situation that I won't go into, but I always found a way to find another church, because having a group and a fellowship of believers is the best thing you can do for yourself as a believer. There's so many benefits to it, and you are being obedient by doing so, because that's what God wants from us as his children, as people who've given their lives to Christ, as people who are pursuing God in our relationships with him. So please find a good church based on the tips I gave right now, based on the word of God that I just read, and trust me, you won't regret it. Being a part of the church is the best thing you can do for yourself, with the flaws that it has as an organization, as the body of Christ. Yes, there are flaws that exist, but there's so many greater benefits. And I can tell you, I can attest that the benefits and the good side to it, it definitely overpowers the negative side of being someone who attends church. So it is your mandate, it is your responsibility, and it's obedience to be someone who gathers with other believers. So that's what I have for you, beloved, this week. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you gained a lot. And I pray that you do come back to the church. You pray about it. And also, it's very important to pray. That's a very important thing that I have to mention. Pray that God leads you to a good church. You know, he leads you to a church where, you know, it's good believers that are growing in the faith, that are welcoming, that are warm, where you will grow in your faith, where the word is being preached, where Christ is being preached, you know. So I pray for you, beloved, and I pray that your May is going well, because we're still in the month of May. It's cold. At the time I'm recording this podcast, it's one of the coldest days I've literally experienced. But I hope you're keeping well, and I hope God is literally helping you in every situation in your life. And if things are tough, just trust and believe that God, Christ, is still seated on the throne. And because he's still seated on the throne, victory is still guaranteed. So just bring your problems, bring your situations to him, and he will heal you, and he will make himself manifest. But we've come to the end of our recording. Don't forget to subscribe to Iono FM, to Spotify, to Apple Podcasts, or wherever you choose to listen to your podcast from. And do tune in to our other podcasts here at Times Live. We've got Business Day Spotlight. We've got the SL Cabinet. We've got so many other podcasts that you can listen to. So please do check those out as well. Until next time, you are loved. You are treasured by your Heavenly Father. God bless.